The traditional idea of civilizations very much starts the story in the Mesopotamia, the great river valleys of West Asia or the Middle East, the Near East, where the mud of those alluvial floodplains became the rich soil on which agriculture, cities, and true civilizations grew. But Felipe Fernandez Armesto's book Civilizations makes the case that these are misleading cases of civilization, but nonetheless they are powerful stories of the vexed relationship between civilization and environments, and they have left behind one of the great epic stories of that problem. Today, on Summer of Civilizations, we're looking at the Sumerian civilization and the Epic of Gilgamesh. Welcome to the Burning Archives, Summer of Civilizations. I am Jeff Rich. This is the Burning Archive podcast where I help you see the world more clearly with some quality world history. And there are all sorts of reasons in 2024 to want to explore all of world history's civilizations. And I am going to guide you on that journey through this special summer season of the podcast of 12 or a few more episodes. So I'm reaching back to some earlier podcasts I did in 2022 that look at the history of civilizations. One of the problems with looking at the history of civilizations is so much has been written about them. But fortunately, I knew of a guide in the form of one great book, one great history book, written by the historian Felipe Fernandez Armesto, who I had the pleasure and the privilege to interview late last year on the podcast. One book, Civilizations, that can offer you a creative, accessible, imaginative, and in many ways quite delightful, generous world tour of the history of the world's civilizations. His book, Civilizations, has that theme, and it's very important that he expresses it in the plural. There are more than one way skin a cat, and there is more than one way to lead a civilized life. And if you'd like to explore the history of civilizations more, and also to go on the journey through the history of the world's civilizations, that enormous journey in an achievable, simple, compressed form by reading through a single book with me and discussing it more, I'm going to be offering a very special program starting in February where I take you through the ideas, the concepts, and the history of the civilization, the history of civilization as articulated through Felipe Fernandez Armesto's book. And I'll give you a little bit more information about that new special program, but you can join up now. It's going to be starting in February, but you can sign up now or join a mailing list by going to courses, C-O-U-R-S-E-S, dot Jeff Rich Writer, all one word, JeffRichWriter.com. And I'll add a little bit more details about that now, but why don't you sit back and relax, maybe enter that URL into your website now and reimagine the history of civilizations, the history of civilizations from Mesopotamia, of the Nile, Egypt, the great river valleys of the Middle East, of West Asia and North Africa, and come to a different understanding of the vexed relationship between agriculture, urbanization, environment, and one of the great stories that emerged from that relationship. Okay, so let's get into Fields of Mud, the alluvial soils of drying climates. And it's here where so much discussion about the beginning of history, the beginning of civilization, in traditional accounts that we will have all absorbed more or less. This is where it begins, in Mesopotamia, in Southwest Asia, in the region of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which certainly in like the 3rd or 4th millennium BC apparently were a little bit more moist than they are today, you know, a little bit more swampland, but with these big rivers that would flood and spill fertile mud all over the surrounding plains. And it was in that the mud of these flooding rivers that civilization, let's call it, emerged, or a particular set of civilizations emerged in around about the 4th millennium BC, so about 3000 plus BC. It used the mud of the rivers to make enormous cities with monumental architecture, and it established a particular form of agriculture using the mud of these rivers, planting grains in and irrigating them, and establishing really a form of mass production of grains that would support a sophisticated and structured elite. But as Fernandez Amisto says, this is a particular choice of agriculture that was being made in this Sumerian or Akkadian civilization, the civilization of a number of cities that we'll talk about. And he says it's important, and this goes to the whole question of cradles of civilization. So civilization did not originate, in quote marks, on alluvial soils, though they may have helped it along. Neither did agriculture. But this time, because the thing is, agriculture also developed even earlier in Papua New Guinea, I believe maybe Peru as well, and a few other places as well. But this type of environment did breed a particular kind of agriculture, which in turn fed a particular kind of civilization. A form of agrarian mass production specializing in one or two staple grains, cutting the land with flood channels and irrigation canals, scoring the landscape and smothering it with crops which were unnatural in the sense they could not have evolved and could not survive without humans. This was a kind of agriculture which represented an extreme form of civilizing urge. It supported teeming, urbanized, highly regulated societies, human hives, the tyranny of collective objectives. This form of agriculture had a somewhat vexed relationship with the environment around it. It was always a little bit of a fragile environment. This part of Southwest Asia, and that's part of the story about from Cunliffe about why agriculture spreads out from the southwest core. It's because of some of the environmental degradation from the agriculture that leads people to go off and look for better climates and better environments, Micronesias. But it was also a type of society, type of civilization, that consumed enormous resources, which it actually drew from surrounding cultures, or let's call them civilizations, on the steppe and on the Iranian plateau and other areas. So it was very much not a self-sufficient civilization or the dominating resource center of the entire of Eurasia. It was a particular kind of resource-consuming civilization state that emerged in this area, but already back in that, you know, third, fourth millennium BC was having had all sorts of trading and other sort of relationships with the steppe and other parts of Eurasia. But this Sumerian, S-U-M-E-R, I-A-N, Sumerian civilization did evolve and left some utterly stunning pieces of cultural heritage, I guess, over the period roughly from 3000 to 1500 BC. This Sumerian civilization sort of went through various waves of centralizing dynastic states and then a bit of a breakup into smaller, more anarchic circumstances. And there were power, I guess, moved from one key city to another, whether that was Sumer or Ur or Akkad. And different dynasties and different periods of time are known after those cities. Ur might be, it's in the city Ur, certainly all those three cities, Ur, Sumer, Akkad, Susa maybe, also would be very familiar to any player of civilization because they do appear. But Ur also has an enduring cultural reference as the sort of like a beginning, like you say, the Ur text, or it is the first, the beginning text. And in that sense, Ur has become almost like a symbol, the cradle of civilization itself. This civilization built enormous kind of pyramid-type structures called ziggurats, which were sort of like pyramids but more like steps. And even in, I think it's in the 2000 BC era, the Akkadian, under the Akkadian dynasty, it's also where Persian carpets or woven carpets from this area are first referenced in documents. Babylon was also a city in this area, and in the early period it was the, by legend, was the place where the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were. But Fernandez Semesto thinks that it's quite likely that Hanging Gardens of Babylon was a kind of second millennium BC fake news perpetrated by subsequent writers, because there is apparently no evidence that it ever existed. King Hammurabi, who reigned around about 1765 BC, is famous as the writing the first known code of laws, and also from the Sumerian civilization, which largely wrote in a form of little triangle sort of shapes in clay tablets known as cuneiform. But it, from this civilization comes one of the earliest literary texts that we have, and that is the Epic of Gilgamesh, which in some ways might has been seen to prefigure to some degree the story of the flood in the Bible, and because the area around the Tigris and Euphrates flooded quite a lot, and also is a bit of a foundation of heroic epics. It features a king called Gilgamesh who meets a wild man called Enkidu, who has been created by the gods to stop the king oppressing the people of his city. But Enkidu and Gilgamesh sort of have a test of strength, which Gilgamesh wins, and they end up going on a bit of a road trip to the cedar forest of kind of Lebanon, I think, where Enkidu sort of defies the gods, kills the bull of heaven, and is then sentenced to death. And in grief at the death of his friend, Gilgamesh then goes on a long journey to try to discover the secret of eternal life. Ultimately, he comes back to the city having learned that, and this is broadly what is said in the poem in a translation, I guess it's a poem, an epic poem. Life which you look for, you will never find. For when the gods created man, they let death be his share, and life withheld in their own hands. In other words, you had to embrace mortality. It's important to say about Sumer, and we'll come to this a little bit more in the next episode where we talk about the broad things, that it, as Fernando Zumesto stressed, is not the only path to agriculture, and nor is agriculture diffused from this centre. Agriculture emerges rather from a process, I think, anthropologists sort of these days call processual change, which is sort of like there's a basic process involved. It's a bit like natural selection, I guess. There's a process involved in looking out and consuming plants that leads people ultimately to this thing. And the path to agriculture is much more gradual and differently understood these days than perhaps when Sid Meier invented civilization. But it is worth noting that this civilization of Sumer and the Akkadian civilization, etc., had enormous appetite for commodities and resources, which it drew from the steppe and the surrounding mountainous districts, the sort of mining areas that Barry Cunliffe talks about, which I think I mentioned in the first show of this series on civilizations. And its internal conflicts, its constant war, etc., made it what Barry Cunliffe describes as a rabid consumer of commodities produced elsewhere. There's in fact a cuneiform text surviving from 1800 BC that describes the arrival of a single shipment of 20 tons of copper. But this heavy reliance on an international network of trade and resource extraction from other places really collapses with internal strife as well around about 1600 BC. And then there's a long sort of Sumerian Dark Ages before a second Babylonian empire sort of emerges, as well as a whole lot of others like Hittites and others that you might have read about over time. And from this period then, Barry Cunliffe says it's when we start to have the first clashes between nomads and empires as they are in conflict over the systems of Eurasia. It's also, in Fernando Zumesto's view, very much an example of how great ambition can reshape the environment, but perhaps cannot always last. And I hope that gives you some insight into the great civilizations of the river valleys, some of the great outcomes or the legacy of that in the great story of the Epic of Gilgamesh, which in some way still informs our narratives and also gives you a different perspective on the whole idea that those Mesopotamian civilizations were the cradles of civilization from which the whole concept of Western civilization, of civilization itself, diffused outward to the rest of the world. Civilization is a different kind of process to that. It's not an evolution, it's not an organic growth, it's a chaotic development of a process of changing nature to human needs, as Felipe Fernandez Armesto argues, and the whole what's described as the diffusionist idea of civilization, the idea that civilization diffuses out from one center, from one cradle, is one of the key very entrenched ideas in our culture, which which is very much encouraged, I guess, by computer games like Civilization, that we probably really need to reconsider. And Felipe Fernandez Ernesto concludes his section on the shining fields of mud by writing, "Though the river valleys of antiquity cannot be credited with having inseminated other societies with the seeds of civilization, they did have some lasting effects. Egyptian and Mesopotamian civilizations dwindled, and what survived of their heritage was transmitted via successor civilizations, that of Greece and Rome in the Egyptian case, and of Persia in the Mesopotamian. The two other great alluvial soil civilizations of antiquity in India and China had at first glance contrasting effects. The Harappan sites look as if they had been deliberately obliterated. The sense of utter devastation with which one beholds their ruins is unparalleled by the sight of any other wreckage of the past. In China, on the other hand, lands where civilization started are inhabited still. Not only has occupation been continuous, but the civilizing mission has never flagged. Still, on closer inspection, the Indian and Chinese cases turn out to have something profound in common. Both were able, or so it has been said, to transcend their environments of origin to annex or relocate in new areas. In partial consequence, both have been areas where the durability of the civilizing tradition has been remarkably robust." And if that whets your appetite to explore Felipe Fernandez Ernesto's civilizations a little more, why don't you check out my course at courses.jeffrichwriter. World History Explorers Season 1 is going to be exploring Felipe Fernandez Ernesto's book Civilizations. We will go through all these environments in a little bit more detail, and you can enroll now. So go to courses.jeffrichwriter.com, and I'd love to see you there. There'll be weekly discussions, there'll be extra materials, and I will take you through this wonderful book that will help you explore world history one book at a time to go on a superb world tour of all the civilizations in all the environments of the world in 90 days. And you can do that by enrolling at courses.jeffrichwriter.com. I'll be back next week with the remarkable story of civilizations in highlands, places from as different as Zimbabwe or Scotland or Tibet, but most remarkably of all, the great highland civilizations of Mesoamerica and the Andes, including the Inca. In some ways, Felipe Fernandez Ernesto said the most successful civilization of the early modern period. Tune in next week to find out why that is so. Until then, everyone, take care, and do remember, what thou lovest well will not be reft from thee.